From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's time for our Friday Reporter Roundtable, where we talk about what's making news across the 21st state. Today, multiples of two, the Twin Cities of Bloomington Normal, and the Quad Cities. Joining us now is Charlie Schlenker, senior reporter at WGLT, Bloomington Normal Public Media. Charlie, welcome back to The 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Brian. It's a pleasure.
Also joining us, Rachel Duckett, fellowship host and reporter for WVIK Quad Cities Public Radio. Rachel, welcome back to you as well.
Hi, thank you.
And we'll just dive right into it. And Rachel, I want to begin with you and talk about something we have spoken about before, and that is the latest developments on the partial building collapse that happened in Davenport last spring. Latest is there's a tenant group that says they need the federal government to step in because renters elsewhere there continue to live in fear. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so the Tenant Alliance has been around for a while, but I think it got a lot of new members after the collapse. And they had a town hall in October where they asked HUD and the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development and a few other like lawmakers to come, and HUD didn't come to the town hall, but it got a lot of community support. And so I think it was 80 or 88 people reached out to HUD, and eventually they did come and met with the Tenant Alliance. And I spoke with a member of the Tenant Alliance who's, an older woman, uses a wheelchair, and she is just feeling really anxious in her home. She talked about how, water was coming through the roof and the walls, and there's mold, and she just didn't feel like she was getting any help. And when she was told to find another place, all the other rentals that she looked at didn't seem to be in much better shape. So they're asking for better inspections and for more funding options.
Interesting. And you said they're appealing to the federal government. Now, what are local authorities saying about this?
Not saying much. I think that's part of the issue.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think that's part of the issue is that the Tenant Alliance maybe feels that they haven't been able to really speak too much one-on-one with Davenport officials. But I think that part of their meeting was HUD said that they were going to talk to city officials from Davenport and tell them about receiverships or community land trusts and solutions like that.
All right, interesting. Charlie Schlenker from WGLT, I want to bring you into the conversation now to talk about a couple of transportation stories. And first, finally, after I think years, the mayor of Normal, Chris Coos, has been confirmed for the Amtrak board. We'll talk about the political implications of that, but for now, what did it take to get to this point?
It took nearly 4 years, three different nominations. There were a variety of reasons for those delays. Among them, Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville wasn't happy with the Amtrak nominations having a disproportionate number going to the northeast corner when Amtrak's charter calls for more Midwestern representation than was the case. So there was a lengthy hold there, another lengthy hold from Texas Senator Josh Hawley. Finally, all done, and Mayor Chris Coos of Normal is going to replace the long-serving Tom Carper, the former mayor of Macomb. So an Illinois representative replaces an Illinois representative on the nation's passenger rail service board.
You know, I have seen among, sort of people who are interested in rail as a more viable transportation option, a greener option, have praised Bloomington Normal's sort of embrace of rail in its downtown. What are the implications of Coos being in this position?
Well, he'll be in a position to advocate for what he says he wants to advocate for, which is passenger experience, on-time performance. Amtrak could use that. Safety record. And to look over the more than 60 proposals for expansion or origination of service on corridors around the nation, several of them in Illinois, there would be that are included in a massive spending bill over the next 15 years. There would be for Illinois potentially a Chicago to Peoria route, a Chicago to Rock Island route, and increased frequency of trains along the Chicago to St. Louis corridor through Bloomington Normal, as well as perhaps a reroute around the Joliet area to the Rock Island tracks to Metra tracks, which could clear up some thorny freight delays that have been years unresolved.
Yeah, anyone who has taken that Lincoln service train, as I have many times, knows that most of your delays do end up between Chicago and Joliet there, so that could be some welcome relief. Well, speaking of greener modes of transportation, Charlie, Rivian, the electric vehicle maker, released its final set of 2023 production numbers. What did the year look like for this plant based in Central Illinois?
Well, 57,000 vehicles produced. Fourth quarter production was 17,500 odd. And if you annualize that, that's close to 70,000 vehicles a year, both in trucks and SUVs. So their production is coming up. Their deliveries went down in the fourth quarter. They said that would happen because one of their customers is Amazon. They do delivery vehicles for Amazon. And Amazon chose to concentrate on the holiday deliveries rather than ramping up more new vehicles in its fleet. So,
although I have been seeing more of them in the wild, these electric delivery Amazon vehicles.
Both those and the SUVs are proliferating.
Yeah.
Wall Street is still mixed on Rivian, although Rivian has said that they hope to turn the corner and become profitable this year. At last count, they were still losing maybe $29,000 per vehicle produced.
Do you have a sense, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but of what the waiting list is down to? I know this is one of those things where when you know people were waiting sometimes months, if not years, to get their Rivian vehicle. Are they catching up to that?
They are catching up. I don't know the exact status of it. Some analysts on Wall Street think that the slowdown in deliveries is because of demand. Rivian isn't saying that. They're accounting for it in other ways. And it's important to distinguish between deliveries, which actually dropped in the fourth quarter below expectations, and vehicles produced, which were above expectations.
Interesting. All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. If you're just joining us, we are beginning, as we do every Friday, with our reporter roundtable, where we talk about what's making news in different parts of the state. Joining us today, Charlie Schlenker from WGLT in Bloomington Normal, and Rachel Duckett from WVIK in the Quad Cities. And Rachel, I want to come back to you, because last Tuesday, we saw former President Donald Trump sweep the Iowa caucus for the Republican nomination. I guess that was a week ago, two weeks ago almost at this point. But Democrats in Iowa also kept themselves busy, right? All the attention went to Republicans. Democrats were actually doing things that day. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I went to a Democratic caucus site in Davenport, Scott County, like most of Iowa, caucus for Trump pretty overwhelmingly. The Democrats kind of just went about party business. It was a pretty calm environment. People were just there. They heard from a few local candidates that were running, some congressional candidates that are running, and they mainly, broke into their precincts and elected central committee members and delegates and discussed party business. But it was a lot of I think it was the diehard people. I talked to one woman who said she's never missed a caucus since she was 18. So I think it was a pretty regular Scott County.
Yeah, you don't imagine the turnout's going to be pretty hardcore if you're going for a caucus where there's not actually a competitive presidential election that year. What was the mood, right? You hear this idea, Democrats are so worried about, President Biden and the fact that, these horse race polls, which it's very early, I should stipulate that, but these horse race polls show that President Trump or former President Trump and incumbent President Biden are neck and neck. Did they seem, was there like an air of worry or excitement, or how would you characterize the mood in the room?
No, I mean, it was pretty, Yeah, it was a pretty calm environment. I think most of the people there knew each other, so it was sort of a chance to catch up a little bit. And honestly, I don't know if Trump came up very much at all. They watched a video from Joe Biden, and I mean, I think the energy was pretty positive, pretty confident.
Interesting. Well, we will continue to follow that as it develops this year. Rachel, I want to turn now to something else that's happening in downtown Rock Island, and that is a new farm. It's aiming to help feed immigrants and refugees. Not a farm in the traditional sense. I did say it was downtown. What is that about?
Yeah, so it's a hydroponic farm. It looks kind of just like the back part of a big truck, and it's in the parking lot of our local botanical center. It was developed by an outside company for a local nonprofit that does like urban farming. And they say it can grow like 2 to 6 tons of food per year. I think probably as they're getting started, it'll be less than that this year. But they can grow food throughout the winter, which is really exciting. And I think the plan for them is to grow things like cassava and things that they called it culturally relevant foods. Yeah, for immigrants and refugees in the Quad Cities. So it was partially paid for, I think, by the John Deere Foundation, but it's through a nonprofit called Tapestry Farms.
Interesting. Charlie, coming back to you, there is a conservation group in Central Illinois that recently acquired some of the last remnants of the Hill Prairie habitat. What's that about?
The Parklands Foundation has been working on the Mackinac River watershed for decades. Way back into the 1980s, they acquired their first land and then had a gift from the Nature Conservancy. They now manage over 1,500 acres along that river. And this latest is 55 acres called the Devil's Backbone, which is an odd geologic formation, perhaps glacial, perhaps just the way riverbeds erode. A lot of bluffs go slope directly down. This one has a jagged hump in the middle as it goes up to the top of the bluff. It has some prairie grasses. It has some interesting trees. It's partially forested. They're going to use it as a research place and a seed stock place for other pieces of land in the watershed that they want to restore prairie on. And it's they're really chuffed or pleased with it.
Not, I understand, though, going to be open for like hiking, and they don't want people traipsing through there, I gather.
No, it'll be opened and curated in a limited basis. They do want to make it somewhat accessible, but it's not like some of their other holdings in McLean and Woodford County, where the public is just invited in anytime for hiking. They want to do research, and they want to do that seed stock thing. And it is vulnerable. It's small. 55 acres is not huge, but it's been somewhat cared for by the previous landowners over the decades, and they're really happy that a little bit of fire, a little bit of management, a little bit of seeding, and all the invasives will be gone, and what's there that is native will be flourishing even more.
Yeah, it's remarkable how little of Illinois actually looks like it might have several hundred years ago. One of those rare patches of prairie. Rachel, we're coming to the end of our time together, but I do wanted to ask you about a bald eagle count. This is something happening in Iowa. There might be some trouble with that this year. Why is that the case?
So I know this winter has been sort of crazy, but earlier in January it was pretty mild, and when they were doing the count, so they do this every year, a bunch of volunteers from the DNR and just kind of birders in Iowa get together and they count bald eagles on the rivers. And I think it's an easier count when the rivers freeze over and at the locks and dams where that ice gets kind of crushed up or agitated, the birds just kind of chill there and it's easy fishing. So that makes the count easier, but the count still went on as planned. And yeah, it was just that it was a sort of mild early January, but it was interesting because I talked to the woman who organizes the count for the Iowa DNR, and she said it'll be interesting to see this year's results because last year they saw that the birds had just totally recovered from the year before, where a ton of them died from the avian flu. So it's interesting to watch the trends, and it'll be interesting to see how they're doing in 2024.
Yeah, long live our national symbol. Charlie, just about 30 seconds left. I understand Bloomington is getting a professional hockey team. What's that about?
It's the Bloomington Bison. They'll compete starting in 24-25, so the fall, the 30th franchise in the ECHL. The city is happy. They're hoping for $20 million in revenue over the next period of years, and hockey fans are happy too, although previous hockey teams have not succeeded in Bloomington Normal.
Well, I do love bison, one of my favorite animals, so maybe I'll have to pick up a hat. Charlie Schlenker.
Oh, the logo, too, yeah. Is a bison with a Lincoln stovepipe hat.
Oh,
because Lincoln.
That is such a Venn diagram of my interests. All right, Charlie Schlenker from WGLT, Rachel Duckett from WVIK, thanks so much for being with us. More to come here on the 21st show after a short break. Please stay with us.